This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. At the U.S. Supreme Court, it's been a second day of historic hearings about gay marriage in America. At issue to this morning, the constitutionality of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act.
DOMA defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman and prohibits legally married same-sex couples from collecting federal benefits.
Recall that the Obama administration declined to defend DOMA. House members hired a private attorney to defend the law. That prompted a spirited round of questioning from the justices today about whether this case should have ever reached the Supreme Court in the first place.
Here's Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Antonin Scalia grilling Deputy Solicitor General Sri Srinivasan, who argued that the House does not have the right to pursue a case that the president will not defend.
What is the test for when you think your obligation to take care that the laws be faithfully executed means you'll follow your view about whether it's constitutional or not, or you won't follow your view?
Mr. Chief Justice, I'd hesitate to give you a black-and-white algorithm. There are several considerations that would factor into it. One of the considerations—
Excuse me, it's not your view, it's the president. It's only when the president thinks it's unconstitutional that you can decline to defend it?
Slate senior editor Emily Bazelon was at the High Court this morning and joins us now. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So let's start with this idea of standing and whether or not this case should even be at the court. What did you hear the justices sort of signal about their opinion on this?
I don't think this case is going to be thrown out because five justices will decide that no one had standing. However, it's an unusual case. The Obama administration says the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, this part of the law. But it also hasn't paid back Edie Windsor. She's the plaintiff in this case who had to pay more than $360,000 in inheritance taxes after her spouse died. And those taxes she would not have had to pay if she had been married to a man.
Do you think, but on the other hand, Emily, I heard, I guess even, for example, especially Chief Justice John Roberts expressing some irritation that the court was even hearing these cases because of what amounted to a disagreement between members of the executive and legislative branches. I mean, does that make any sense to you? Because I heard John Roberts saying, why are we hearing these cases when, you know, you guys should decide what you want to do? Emily, are you with us? Looks like we lost late Emily Bazelon. We'll see if we can get her back, but we'll move on to hearing from actual people who are having an impact or being impacted by this law.
That's right, because today's Supreme Court arguments come 4 years after the first successful challenges to the Defense of Marriage Act were filed right here in Massachusetts. One of them was brought by the gay and lesbian advocacy group GLAAD, and another by Attorney General Martha Coakley. 2 years after they were filed, the First Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a key part of DOMA is unconstitutional. That question led to this week's review of the case by the Supreme Court. Among the original plaintiffs from Massachusetts are Betty Jo Green and Jo Ann Whitehead, who've been together for 30 years. They're married and they live in Jamaica Plain. They're in Washington this week following the Supreme Court proceedings, and they join us now. And Betty Jo Green and Joanne Whitehead, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Betty Jo, let me start with you. As we heard before we lost Emily Basil on there, five justices seem to express some skepticism today about DOMA. What's your reaction to what you saw, to what you heard from the High Court today?
I was not in the courtroom, so I haven't heard anything about the Supreme Court actual hearing today. I was one of those rabble-rousers on the outside.
I see. Well, give us a sense of that rabble-rousing on the outside. Give us a sense of what the mood was like there and what you experienced. Betty Jo.
Yeah, number one, we go there and we're dressed in our winter garb with our hats because it's chilly and the sun is coming up. And we're seeing people come down handing out American flags and posters, and people are grouping together and getting closer and closer, and we're kind of jostling each other, and we're learning to know each other's names as we jostle, and it was just incredible.
Mm. Joanne, give me a sense of your experience.
Well, it's what Betty Jo said, and also just it was so upbeat. Everybody is so hopeful that this court will decide to strike down DOMA. There was just such a diverse crowd of people gay and lesbian, straight, old and young, mixed race and ethnic backgrounds. It was just wonderful to see.
Now, Joanne, let me stick with you, because if I understand correctly, your and Betty's specific concerns about DOMA had to do with Social Security benefits, which are among more than 1,000 programs and laws affected by DOMA. So give us a sense of your story and what's at stake here.
Well, that's correct. As you may remember, the Gill plaintiffs have a variety of benefits issues ranging from postal workers to death benefits for state troopers, health benefits for spouses, and on and on. Betty Jo and I were specifically harmed by DOMA in the Social Security Administration. If she should die before me, I would not get her spousal benefit. If I would die before her, she would probably be in a situation similar to Edie Winslow, that she would, you know, have to pay such Winslow. Extreme taxes on that, you know, inheritance taxes that she'd probably have to move.
Right. So, Betty Jo, if this law were allowed to stand, it really would mean, or describe, if you would, what it would mean in terms of financial futures for married couples like you and Joanne.
It means a whole lot. It's like we would have to make major changes in our lives. I'm just saying, Joanne alluded to the fact that we co-own a house together. Mm-hmm. And therefore, my half of the house would not be taxed, but her half of the house would be taxed in inheritance taxes. And therefore, how could I pay those taxes? I'd have to sell the house to do that. In terms of us on a daily basis and over the last year and a half, 2 years, we have just, Joanne just turned 71. I will turn 71 in another month. We have been drawing Social Security, and she wasn't allowed to have my half of my benefits as other married people do when they apply for Social Security, because her Social Security benefits were so much less than mine.
Sure.
And so therefore, we weren't able to allow her to go to the full 70-year retirement, and she now does not collect nearly as much as she would have otherwise.
Yeah. Now, you so, both... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm just saying that Social Security is not all of our income, but it's a significant part.
Sure, so. A significant part. Now, you two have been fighting this legal battle. As we mentioned, you were involved in really the first challenge to DOMA going back 4 years ago.
Yes.
What does it mean to finally have the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act being considered by the Supreme Court?
It's absolutely wonderful. You know, it's like to stand in front, you know, we weren't in the courtroom, but to stand in front of the Supreme Court building and see equal justice for all, you know, it's kind of like to see that equal justice under law. It didn't see the law. Equal justice under law.
It's inscribed
and we said,
on the building.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's inscribed on the building. And we said, yes, that's exactly right. Mm. We're doing.
It was a wow moment.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Go ahead, Joanne. Chime in there.
It was a wow moment. And even as we left the rally each day, we would run into people on the metro or just walking up and down on the sidewalks, and we could tell by not only their paraphernalia but the smile on their face. I mean, everybody was just aglow with the hope of striking down DOMA.
Have you ever been in a situation where your cheek muscles hurt so much because you've been smiling so much all day? That's what we're experiencing right now.
You know. Now, of course, arguments this week, the Supreme Court's going to render a decision sometime in the future. You both are sort of sounding like it's victory already. If the Supreme Court does not strike down the Defense of Marriage Act, what's your next step?
It's not going away. This issue is not going away. And if it is not our actual court case, something else will come down the pike. Something else, it's going to go down. Hmm. You know, I have a huge button that says, knock out DOMA, And it's going to happen.
It's just,
you know, I mean, it's just, it's a matter of time.
All right, that's Betty Jo Green and Joanne Whitehead. They were among the seven couples and three individuals represented by gay and lesbians advocates and defenders in the Gill versus Office Personnel Management case back 4 years ago. Betty Jo and Joanne, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, coming up, in the wake of the 2008 global financial crisis, many leaders said we need another Bretton Woods. Well, we'll go back to the actual Bretton Woods and see what actually happened there. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.